Once again, that is our official 7 o'clock in the morning anthem, and Katie Motzinger from the Children's Attention Home gave it 2 thumbs up. Right. She was singing and dancing to it. You like that one, Katie?
Oh, yeah.
That is a good one for
it's
sure.
It's a great one.
Welcome into Palmetto Mornings. We're looking at 57 degrees. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
And you're listening to us on the radio, FM 100.1, AM 1340, on the free WRHI app, on the WRHI website, and on the TV side, you're watching us on CN2, that's Comporium Cable Channel 102, as well as Facebook Live and YouTube on the WRHI and CN2 pages.
There you go.
Katie Motzinger is joining us this Wednesday morning. She is from the Children's Attention Home with a lot of updates. We're going to just dive right on in. First of all, good morning to you, Katie, and welcome again.
Good morning. Good to be with y'all.
So April is Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Yes.
And I like that your shirt, you have a shirt that says everyone has a role to play in preventing child abuse.
Yes.
So a lot of folks might see like those pinwheel decorations in and around businesses and homes, and just take us from there. What's the correlation there?
So the pinwheel is the national symbol for like a healthy childhood. And so pinwheels are put out during Child Abuse Prevention Month as a way to call attention to that everybody has a role to play in preventing child abuse and being a champion for children. So like we'll put them out and we encourage people to put out the pinwheels, and this Friday is going to be Wear Blue Day. And so we encourage people to wear blue in honor of Child Abuse Prevention Month, which will be the same as our open house. So we're excited to have some folks show up and hopefully have an army of blue on Friday.
I do know, Katie, during COVID, a lot of folks were worried for kids because they were not in places where if someone noticed, mainly our schools, if someone noticed a kid was being abused or saw the signs, because we weren't in buildings, we were sheltered at home, that those cases continued to go up more and more and more. I know part of that is your world, part of it's not, but have y'all seen any kind of change since coming out of COVID when it comes to child abuse?
Absolutely. And it is more, really, when you look at Child Abuse Prevention Month, it is prevention. It is how do we get ahead of, you know, making sure that these kids are in a situation where it's a healthy environment, the families are supported. And that's where I think coming out of COVID, there were so many families that, you know, or situations where the kids maybe were not being monitored in a way that was helping prevent that things from getting worse. It also, from a family standpoint, just the stress of the pandemic, the stress of the economy and what was happening at that time, exacerbated some of the things that usually will lead to cases of child abuse and neglect, while also not having the monitoring, like you said, of teachers, doctors, and people that generally would see these children on a daily basis. So what we've seen coming out of the pandemic, it's kind of twofold. So one is that you had cases that were underreported, and so it took a while maybe for these kids to be identified, but also just we all had stress and a level of trauma, you know, worldwide when it comes to what we faced with the pandemic and what we all walked through. So for a child that was already dealing with trauma, it just exacerbated what was already happening for them. And so what we're seeing coming out of it is kind of what you see all over the place. You know, there's higher degrees of mental health issues going on and needs, especially with our youth. And also just the, like I said, the trauma that they had, that being compounded by the trauma that was brought by the pandemic and the different, just the different factors that played into that, whether it was not seeing people and the social isolation of it, or whether it was, like I said, the economic impact to their families. So we definitely have seen some of the ripple effects of that. I think it also, I think societally, we were starting to see some of the things that have led to some of this complex trauma and the mental health concerns that our kids are facing today. And so that's really what we're seeing now, is there has just been such an increase in the number of teens specifically, but children in general coming into care that have higher degrees of complex trauma and higher degrees of mental health diagnoses that just need more. They need more help and support to get on a healthy path and be successful long term.
What can we do as a community to help prevent child abuse, and what are some of the warning signs that we should be looking for?
That's a great question, Ashley. So in terms of prevention, really social connection and providing concrete support for families that are struggling is huge. So making sure that we're able to come alongside families, maybe you know somebody that your child is friends at school with, or maybe it's somebody that's, you know, in your neighborhood, in your church, on your kid's sports team. But keeping your eyes open for places where families are struggling and helping them and being a social connection point for them before things become bad, you know, that is critical. And that's what a lot of families don't necessarily have. We look at what, like I said, what society has kind of led towards now between we've been, you know, we're more connected now than ever and yet as isolated as we've ever been. And I think that's the same thing that we're seeing with families and how that impacts, you know, how well kids are able to be cared for in some of these situations. So definitely that. Some of the signs to look for, I mean, if you have a child that, you know, behaves a certain way, maybe they're usually outgoing or maybe they are a little bit shyer, but you notice changes in behavior. You notice that maybe they're hungrier than usual. You notice that they're maybe unkept or that they're wearing the same clothes often. They might be really tired or sleepy. So it's a lot of changes in behavioral that you'll notice. And there's lots of other signs and symptoms that if you go on like South Carolina Department of Social Services, they'll have the list for you of signs to look for. But really those are some of the key ones. And then of course for physical abuse would be like unexplained bruises, things right. like that. But yeah, just a lot of it comes to changes in behavior. And then again, just not looking like they've been well cared for. And the number one reason that we see kids come into care is neglect. And so it's that they're in a living situation where their needs are not being met. So that's, again, if we can come alongside families and help provide them with the support that they need, you know, get them connected. If you've got young families that maybe need the support of like parenting classes or things like that, making sure they're connected to community resources that can help them with that. It takes a village to make sure that our kids are well cared for, and we all have a part to play in that. So,
well, we're fortunate to have the Children's Attention Home here in our backyard and really serving the state of South Carolina. Katie Motzinger is just one of the many faces over there at the Children's Attention Home. I know that your mission has always been the same, mm-hmm. to serve young people, but over the last couple of years, you've focused your efforts on populations and living situations, and you kind of have to go where your market is, right? I mean, what the mission was when the home started is still somewhat the same. It's still the same foundation, mm-hmm. but the first level looks, or second level might look a little different now compared to when the home was started decades ago.
Yeah, so the home was started back in 1970 as an emergency shelter. I mean, it was started as a 30-day shelter for kids birth to 18 years old. And through the years, especially as we developed the partnership with DSS back in the 80s and through the early 2000s, really it was a short-term shelter foster home option for these kids. And then when we moved on to our current campus in the early 2000s, that's where we really started to see the extensions of stay because these kids needed more help and more support. And there were more kids that needed homes and there weren't enough foster homes. This is not new. I will say that, you know, we're continuing to see a decrease relatively in the number of homes to the number of kids that need homes. Even though the number of kids that are coming into care is decreasing, there is great work being done on the prevention side. We still don't have enough homes to keep up with the need. And so what we're seeing also is just not enough suitable foster homes to meet the specific needs to your point, Lucas. And that's where over the last few years, we've really invested a lot of time and energy is developing enhanced care services, training for our staff so that when we have kids coming in that are dealing with complex trauma or dealing with higher degrees of mental health diagnoses or just in more needs of support, you know, we've got kids that are all of our kids really at this point are teenagers. So we don't have any younger children that we're serving unless we have a pregnant parenting teen come in. But it's also preparing these kids for life. I say kids, young adults, you know, really they're working on graduating high school. They're working on getting jobs. They're working on saving and trying to figure out what those next steps are for them in life. And so our mission has stayed the same, but the application of it has changed based on what the needs are and how we can stay ahead of that and prepare for these children so that when they come in, we can meet them where they are and individually, you know, make sure that they have exactly what they need.
Well, to do all that, you need money to accomplish that. And I know we're pushing up against a break, but tell us about winning the People's Choice Grand Prize Award for Seed 20, what that is all about.
Yeah, so we were selected to be part of a program that's put on by Social Venture Partners of Charlotte. And this program, they put out an application and they do an interview process and everything, and they selected 10 nonprofits that they identify as being socially innovative or finding new solutions to problems in the social cause in the nonprofit sector. And so we were selected to be a part of that this year. We actually went through this program when we launched our Crossroads program in 2017. And we won the Community Vote Award then. And so this go around, we were focusing specifically on our new day services program. We did an open house for that back in February, but this program, just in terms of, again, applying what we do and meeting the needs where we are, there are a number of kids that don't have a placement. They're waiting for placement and they're sleeping in offices. They're spending their days in offices. They're going to emergency placements every night. And so we partnered with the state to say, okay, well, during the day, they need somewhere to go where they're being invested in, where they're getting the support and resources that they need. And so that's where we launched our most recent program, which is our day services program.
Perfect. And we won the People's Choice Grand Prize.
We did.
Great. That's amazing.
Congratulations.
We did. Yes. Thank you.
Well, that's, again, just some of the headlines coming from the Children's Attention Home. The big thing, April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. There's an open house this Friday there at the Children's Attention Home. You can learn more about the services there from 9 to 1. And on Friday, you're encouraged to wear blue, all for Child Abuse Prevention Month.
You might have to wear what you have on today.
It's true. You're all ready to go.
I won't even wash it. Wash it.
You've got a day in between.
Okay.
But he's got more blue, but we'll remind each other.
Awesome. Yes. Katie, thank you so much. We appreciate the update.